This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Whitney Pittman in studio. We'll also hear a report from Sierra Doctor as well. We begin with Crop Watch. Crop Watch brought to you by BASF, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Crary Industries, and Bayer Crop Science. Well, planters are ready and farmers are waiting for the flag to drop. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
It gets drier the further west you travel in North Dakota. Agile agronomy owner and consultant Kyle Oakey says western North Dakota fields are in pretty good condition to start planting.
So I have been on a four-wheeler and a soil sampling pickup just yesterday and this past week. And field conditions are, I will say, right there. Our soil temperatures are pretty cool, but all of that snow and heavy snowpack we had this winter, which was record, by the way, for us, has, for the most part, soaked in. The ground's nice and firm, and a few of the farmers that I work with have started seeding this week. So it's going good. So we have really good field conditions, and it's just a little cooler than it would normally be this time of year. That's the big difference, is that the soil temperatures are still hanging in the high 30s and low 40s.
Oakey thinks most farmers are sticking with their original planting plans.
There's some of that going on within the group I work with. Some audibles are being called. For the most part, not a lot of changes yet. Nobody's switching out corn maturities yet. I think we've still got plenty of time on that. Just basically, the audibles we're making are, there's some fields that just aren't fit to start planting right away. And normally we would have started at least a week ago on an average year. And so there's just some switching around, but it's pretty minimal for the most part, where we may be moving wheat fields around and planting pulse crops in different places. But for the most part, not a ton of changes.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says planting progress in the tri-state area of southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and eastern Iowa has been at a standstill for the past couple of weeks.
I could say, you know, really speak for just what I've driven through in the tri-state area here, you know, some of that eastern Iowa and then northern Illinois. It doesn't have to go too far from me right here in the southwest corner of Wisconsin to see quite a bit that went in the ground here, especially 2 weeks ago when we had some ideal conditions to get started. We had some late May conditions that week, and there was a lot in the northern Illinois part, some of this eastern Iowa stuff that did get turned up. But for 2 weeks, or for a week and a half now, we've been pretty much at a standstill around here. Just the temperatures have just turned, that 50, 35 to 50 is a good day, and just wet and just sticky and just cold. And so there's nothing going in here this week.
Lake Benton, Minnesota farmer Bob Worth is waiting for his fields to dry out. That's in southwestern Minnesota.
I'm saying probably in a week to 10 days. Depends upon what the weather does. You know, they're talking a little rain moving in, and it's just not getting very warm. And when we're sitting here at 41 degrees, it doesn't dry, and it certainly doesn't warm the ground up, so anything will grow.
And Worth, really not concerned yet.
Oh, it'll get put in. It'll get put in. I'm not too worried yet. You know, if we get to the 10th of May, then I'm going to start probably go a little more in the panic mode. But, you know, if we're the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th of May, that's not going to be bad. You know, it's going to lower our yield a little bit. Of course, it depends on the summer, too. If we have an ideal summer, we'll be fine. But, you know, time will tell. According to crop insurance, you got to get it planted to get coverage. So I know everybody will be really, when it's fit, everybody will be pushing hard.
And that's Crop Watch, brought to you by Bayer Crop Science, Crary Industries, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and BASF.
Basis bids for April delivery at Northern Plains ethanol plants range from 7 to 20 cents over the July corn futures. Cash corn prices at the plants range from $6.12 to $6.31 per bushel, which is nearly unchanged from a month ago.
Spring wheat basis bids at the six regional grain elevators, followed by the Red River Farm Network, ranges anywhere from 35 to 65 cents under the July futures contracts. That's 5 cents wider at three of the locations, but unchanged at the remaining three. Corn basis is mostly unchanged, ranging from 5 cents under to 15 cents over the July futures contract. Soybean basis saw the biggest change, moving from 85 under to 20 over the July last week to a dollar under to 5 cents under the July futures this week.
According to the monthly dairy report from the National Milk Producers Federation and the Dairy Checkoff, butter and cheese prices have reached their low point for the year. Class 3 milk prices have declined for four straight months. Feed costs have not followed milk prices lower, which will likely result in dairy margin coverage payments until the fourth quarter.
Archer Daniels Midland finished its first quarter with net income of $1.1 billion. That's up slightly from a year ago. Revenues topped $24 billion, helped by a strong cash margins and significantly higher demand for refined products.
Expanding the animal agriculture industry in North Dakota was the goal of several bills introduced to the state legislature this session. House Agriculture Committee Chair Paul Thomas says House Bill 1371 is on its way to Governor Burgum's desk.
Through negotiations with the farm groups and producers, there was significant safeguards built around this version. It requires that operations that want to feed animals retain ownership of livestock. They have to still be owned and controlled principally by North Dakota farm and ranch families. That yes, we are open to investment from outside sources, but seeking partners that will help provide the necessary capital to what's typically seen as younger people being involved in animal agriculture that don't have that capital that's necessary. So this bill is just one of the tools to do that.
Thomas says this bill could help livestock operations catch up to the rate of growth grain farmers have seen in previous years. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota FFA convention wraps up this afternoon with the naming of the new state officer team. 11 new FFA chapters came on board in Minnesota this past year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has the details on a non-traditional ag ed program.
One of the schools chartering a new FFA chapter is Robbinsdale Armstrong in the metro area. The agricultural science and technology educator, Luke Becker, said it's like every other FFA chapter.
The craziest thing of everything that I have gone through this year is the only thing different between a rural school and my metro school that I'm at right now. I can't pronounce any of the kids' names, but my kids act the same way. They are driven, they are excited, they want to experiment and they want to try different things and they want to better themselves in every way humanly possible.
Becker sees demand for technical education.
Last year there was about 200 students who asked to take a CTE program course in the area that I teach at Armstrong. Next year I've got 600 kids that want to take a class with me and we're going to have to turn away about 400 of them. So we've already been discussing adding another teacher, but the explosive growth in that district and the excitement of our admin and our students, they know where the careers are going to go and where they're coming from and what is an essential worker. We learned that over the last couple years, and so getting an idea, getting a chance to promote that in a school district that's non-traditional is really exciting to me and has been a ton of fun.
The Red River Farm Network coverage of the Minnesota FFA Convention is sponsored by the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation, the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Minnesota Farmers Union, Proceed, and Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery. I'm Don Wick, reporting for the Red River Farm Network.
The final general session of the 2023 Minnesota State FFA Convention is underway at this hour. State Vice President Natalie Beckendorf says it's a time of unprecedented growth.
We have nearly 16,000 Minnesota FFA members and 45,000 agriculture students enrolled in agriculture, food, and natural resources this year. So record-breaking numbers.
Beckendorf sees FFA as an inclusive organization.
We have some incredible students that are making friends and just really sharing their passions. And I think that's the great thing about agriculture is it's such a community-based industry. So everyone feels welcomed and wanted. And I think that's what the world needs more of.
North Dakota Department of Animal Health Deputy State Veterinarian Beth Carlson says after the first confirmed case of HPAI, highly pathogenic avian influenza, in North Dakota for the season, poultry producers need to be extra cautious.
On April 17th, we confirmed a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a commercial turkey farm in Dickey County after the farm manager had noticed a slight increase in mortality the day before and then an additional slight increase in mortality that day, and so contacted their veterinarian and had some samples submitted. Because it's such an aggressive virus and it spreads so quickly, the goal is to have the birds euthanized as quickly as possible.
And with spring migration in full swing, Carlson says they will work closely with Game and Fish to monitor cases in wild birds.
We try to work pretty closely with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department and the USDA Wildlife Services, and all reportable diseases are reported to our office, whether they're in wildlife or domestic animals. So we do see those positive test results. And we also obviously work pretty closely with our neighboring state animal health officials. So, you know, we're aware of kind of what's going on in other states. So we were kind of watching and expecting that it was a possibility we'd see some cases. And so certainly we were on alert.
National Corn Growers Association has announced the expansion of the National Corn Yield Contest to include a new pilot class focused on nitrogen management. The pilot permits corn growers experimenting with practices that reduce inputs. NCGA will partner with the Verdesian Life Sciences to launch the pilot program on May 1st. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Ahead of the G7 summit for world leaders, a proposal is being considered to ban most exports to Russia. If that happens, a representative of the Russian Security Council said it would retaliate by withdrawing from the Black Sea Grain Initiative. This has been a common threat coming from Moscow. The world's largest wheat exporter has also said it would not renew the grain deal when it comes up for renewal in mid-May.
National Pork Producers Council is prioritizing animal health during farm bill discussions. NPPC Science and Technology Legal Counsel Andrew Bailey wants to see programs included in the 2018 farm bill expand in the next farm bill.
Our big priority is strengthening the three-legged stool of animal health that we set up in the 2018 Farm Bill, and that's the Vaccine Bank, the National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program, and the National Animal Health Lab Network. And those three programs sort of together are really integral to what we would do if we got a disease here and how we keep it out of the country. Especially foreign animal diseases, something like foot and mouth disease doesn't just affect us, but it affects cattle, the dairy industry, the sheep industry. You know, going forward, looking at the next 5 years, I think the threats we face today are even bigger than they were back in 2016, 17, 18, but something we need to make sure those programs are strengthened and reinforced, because we've shown they're very effective and very helpful programs.
Bailey says working with USDA on other programs is also important to animal health and agriculture as a whole industry.
We and BBC have worked for years now prioritizing what's called the AQI, the Ag Quarantine Inspection Program, and it's administered by USDA and Customs and Border Protection. And that's the, you know, 3,000-4,000 ag inspectors at all the ports of entry into the U.S., mail sorting facilities, as well as ag canines, the Beagle Brigade, if you've ever seen them at an international airport, and the amount of product they seize in a day would really blow your mind. I think it's probably thousands of interdictions across the country a day, especially during the COVID pandemic. They're a user fee funded program, so we really had to go to the bat here in D.C. a lot to make sure that they stayed funded and stayed fully staffed.
Checking markets before we leave you, we're seeing wheat in Minneapolis 4 to 5 lower. Chicago wheat's down 5. Kansas City down 13. Corn is trading a fraction to 3 lower. Soybeans trading 9 to 19 lower. Canola's slightly higher. June cattle down 50 cents. May feeder cattle down $1.22. And June lean hogs are down 32 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.